Because we're moving today from the palms to the cross. And it's amazing in the scriptures how quickly they move from shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," to shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." We don't know if it's the same people. We don't know if it was those who had come out on that day to welcome him into Jerusalem who were also in the streets as he stumbled through carrying the beam of his cross. The crowd that day, the crowd on Palm Sunday, was excited about a new king coming into town. A new king coming to overthrow the Romans, the Messiah. Change the world. But pretty soon, as they got to know Jesus, they got to see what he was doing, they became a lot less enamored with his nonviolent approach. Nevertheless, Jesus persisted in teaching, healing, loving. He persisted in working against the powers of this age and the changing currents of the temple leaders and the Pharisees. And so 5 days later, only 5 days, they captured him at night. His friend betrayed him. His closest friends abandoned him and denied him. And he found himself alone before the religious authorities, now beaten, spat upon, handed over to the real king in Rome. Nevertheless, Jesus persisted in telling the truth about his kingship. He told the temple leaders, he told Caius, he even told Pilate. But despite the lack of evidence, Pilate, much less concerned with the truth than he was with satisfying the shouting crowd, so we had Jesus beaten. And the next day, later on that afternoon, he had him carrying his cross to a place called Golgotha, where they crucified him. Then the people surrounded him, the ones who had shouted, "You are the king, behold the one who comes in the name of the Lord," are now saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." A simple thing for the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" You know, just 5 days later, 6 days at this point, no longer is the king of the Jews riding on the donkey, waving, shouting. Now, King of the Jews hangs over his head as a mockery. Nevertheless, we read in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 27th chapter, many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Nevertheless, as the tide has changed, the currents are shifted, the women still follow. Now here's what we know. The women are at the cross in every account in the Gospels. But it's a different group that's named in each Gospel. Now we could just assume that somehow they just sort of got it wrong, or we could just assume that each Gospel says there were women there, there were a lot of women there, and each Gospel writer knew of different women that were there. But what we know is that there were relatives of Jesus there, his mother. There were relatives of the 12 that were there, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, the John and James. They were friends, like Mary Magdalene, those he'd healed. We know that these women had followed Jesus since early days in Galilee, and that they had provided for him. And we see these stories, right? Mary of Bethany and Martha of Bethany providing Jesus a place to meet, a place to have a meal. The mother-in-law of Peter providing Jesus a home base in Capernaum from which he can operate. In the Gospel of John, we read that John is also present. Well, let's say that the disciple whom Jesus loved is also present, and that disciple symbolizes perfection in discipleship in the Gospel of John. So throughout the Gospels, we see that the women are the ones who show us what perfection in discipleship looks like. Does it matter that they were women? Of course it matters. Of course it matters. Women are vulnerable, especially in this day and age. They're less likely to attract official attention, sure, which is probably why they were able to be there and not be drug into the shouting and screaming and murderous rage of the crowd. But they are vulnerable to the mob. It's easy to follow when everybody's shouting Hosanna. It's much harder when everybody yells, crucify him. Nevertheless, they continue. Not only that, it's scandalous. Scandalous for these women to be out and about following Jesus around. I mean, even recent cultural interpretations suggest ulterior motives, that Jesus had illicit relationships with some of these women. But we know. We know the truth. Counter to a long history of church for power grabbing from the women, that these women followed all the way to the cross, risking everything. To the culture and to the powers of the world, it was further proof of Jesus' illegitimacy. See, all the men had run, but the women were still there, showing even more how powerless Jesus was, how non-influential he was. Yet nevertheless, the scriptures tell us this story because they want to hold these women up as the quintessential disciples, because the scripture writers understood that that was a part of Jesus' message. That as Paul wrote in the Philippians, that it is through his humility and powerlessness, through his vulnerability, that Jesus shows what obedience to God looks like. We want them to do something. We want so bad for them to do something. Why don't they say something? Do something. This moment is different than what we've been talking about the last 4 weeks. This is not a heroic moment of courage. This is not just about following Jesus when things get tough. This is a nevertheless moment. This is about loving in the way that Jesus loved, having the mind of Christ, as Paul wrote. This is about nevertheless being obedient to God's will and way. This is about nevertheless continuing in humility. Not to do something, not to fight, not to oppose, but as the writers of Scripture write again and again, to bear each other's burdens. To endure when all seems lost. To persist when everything seems wrong. To continue to witness to the truth. For they are the witnesses. It's the ultimate in discipleship. They are the ones who go to the cross and do nothing but witness. Witness Jesus there. Pain. Agony. Death. They witness. And so they are privileged then to be the first to witness on Easter morning. That's a story for another day. On this day, they bear and endure and persist for the truth, for the cross's truth. The cross is the truth of God's love. It is that God loves us sacrificially. That God loved us all the way unto death, giving His only Son because of our sin. That Jesus humbled Himself even unto death. But that is the most significant thing to witness. Good news. Good news doesn't always look good. Doesn't always sound good. Doesn't always make things more comfortable and easy, better. Good news doesn't always meet your needs. Because sometimes in a broken world, the call is to bear, endure, witness, and tell the truth. Nevertheless, the women disciples persisted. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.